Our final feature is by Ruth Davis, who describes a day out with her children when she tries to engage them with old-time activities. The title, Five Discover That You Shouldn't Feed the Ducks, will give you a clue on how things went. This is read by Sam Elmhurst.
This year, with everything that's been going on, I decided our summer was going to be very low-key with what we make of them type activities to entertain us. I'd thought we could throw ourselves back to the good old days and spend our time doing what they used to do, back when theme parks didn't exist, and going to the zoo was an annual treat, and visiting the beach was considered a holiday and not just a few hours' entertainment. A kid of 2020 could enjoy a 1940s summer, and so could I. Right? Well, day one, and I plumped for blackberry picking and feeding the ducks. Adventures by the river with poo sticks seemed terribly easy, and with sandwiches wrapped in brown paper for lunch, it felt old-fashioned but fun. Essentially, I had opted to be with my family in an Enid Blyton novel. We were to become our very own famous five. We found a blackberry bush in minutes, proving the English countryside is a bountiful array of foraging delights. But we had forgotten to take a container within which to hold them. Of course! Oh, why hadn't I thought of that? But I was not prepared to fail at the first hurdle and declared with a light bulb moment, "It's okay. I have the bag from the crusts of bread we've saved for the ducks." And I held aloft the golden blackberry ticket in the form of slightly mouldy bread crusts and removed them into my handbag, shaking out the crumbs to provide a clean blackberry vessel. You know, I'm nothing if not resourceful.
"They're very sour, Mummy," Jimmy exclaimed as he popped yet another low-down and potentially dogweed upon berry into his mouth.
"Ah, oh, but darling, they'll be delicious later with lashings of cream and sugar," I thought, but held back, and we carried on picking. Next up were the ducks, which Raffy likes to shout the name of loudly. Only he pronounces an F when he means D, so it doesn't sound quite so wholesome coming from his tiny mouth. With two old ladies fairly close, enjoying the ambiance, which until we'd arrived had been silent, I assume, and Raffy shouting, "Duck! Duck! Duck!" in his own lispy F instead of D way, I sensed a bit of anger pointed in our direction, and sure enough, when I plucked up the courage to make eye contact, we had quite a few looks of disapproval.
"He can't pronounce duck properly."
I raised my hands palm side up and wryly smiled as if to say, "Isn't it funny, really?" But they walked on, their headscarves bobbing downwards towards each other, while they wrote me off as one of those mothers. Well, and then it was time for the bread. I opened up my handbag, looking at the three cutesy ducks bobbing about on the river, and within seconds we'd been surrounded by an onslaught of bird life. Where had they come from? How had they multiplied so fast? More and more ducks, and accompanying them some very vicious-looking swans, stomping like they meant business with evil eyes. They reminded me of gremlins as they made their way out of the water, heading directly for us as they pecked the air in anticipation. "Oh, Lord!" I yelped, and the kids flew in three different directions, terrified and screaming, "Mummy, help! They're coming for us!" Well, I threw the bread, lobbed it like missiles, hoping it would frighten them off but if anything, it only spurred them on as more and more birds arrived. I had the little one in my arms now, having scooped him up as he was unable to run as fast as the other two, and I could feel his heart beating loudly. With the last of the crusts in my clutches, I flung them as far as I could before turning and running too. But the birds were following. It dawned on me they must be able to smell the crumbs at the bottom of my handbag. No, short of emptying my lipsticks, hand sanitizers, I have many of both, and all the other bits us mums carry around in our bags of doom, I had no choice but to simply try and outrun them. Oh. Eventually, we made it to the safety of a bridge, and without a feathered fowl in sight, I thought now would be a good time to play that enjoyable game of poo sticks and get those fun levels back up and running. "Gather your sticks wisely, my loves," I instructed, "and remember that bigger doesn't necessarily mean winner." Well, we all looked for that prize first-place twig, and as we scoured the floor, jostling each other jovially, I noticed a red-faced man coming towards us. "Oh, I expect he's just encountered the devil ducks too," I thought, and we climbed up onto the little bridge to begin our game. It was less fun than I had envisaged, with the two-year-old wanting to climb onto the railings. No awareness of or fear of drowning in a reed-filled pond. The big two were arguing so loudly that by the time the red-faced man got level with us, he was even redder now, I realised, and very angry-looking, I could hear he was trying to talk to us with a shouty and shaking with annoyance sort of voice. "I've been calling at you for ages," he said, "but you haven't been listening." Oh, turns out we were now actually on private land. Oh, his land. Oh. Sorry. And as we retreated without finding out who'd won that darn game of poo sticks, a sticking point for days, he shouted after us, "And don't feed the bloody ducks any more bread. There's signs up everywhere telling you do not do that. Are you stupid?" Yes, I thought to myself when we got home to review our fine feather day out. This was really, really stupid. But it still took me to the evening when I was trying heartily to encourage the children to eat up the sour blackberries, as I gagged on them myself, to log on to my computer and book lots of lovely trips to the zoo and the beach and the farm and some other much more all-singing, all-expensive themed attractions for the rest of the summer. Enid Blyton is very overrated, in my opinion. And the Famous Five, well, probably would have loved stomping around Thorpe Park, given half a chance. Sometimes you just need the big guns. And to wait until blackberries are actually ripe, which, according to my mum, is sometime later in August.
Thank you, Sam, and thanks also for the great sound effects and music you added there.